Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
All right. This morning, I thought this message would be very timely, considering the fact that we just recognize some of our young people in this church. This may not be a topic you think I'm going down, but this morning I really feel pressed to almost teach, let's say. Yeah, a little bit of teaching. But I want to teach a little bit and talk a little bit about the fullness of God. I personally want to have the fullness of God in this room right now, right here. And I don't know any person who would say, no, I just want part of God. I just want a little bit. Okay, there are some who in our hearts, that's how we live, but that's a different thing. We all want the fullness of God. And I want to read scripture to you that talks on that just a little bit. It's Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. You can turn there if you like. I think it's a very powerful scripture, like all of them. I'm going to read it real quick. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. Has anybody here ever heard a message preached on this verse? Oh my goodness. Well, I personally have heard, sometimes unfortunately, a lot of messages about this verse. And usually after the preacher says that verse, he says, that means that you have the fullness of God in you and you can be a world changer. You can go out there and you can exhibit Christ to this world. You can be Christ with skin on. And I'm not saying that that is completely wrong. There is something seriously lacking in that interpretation of this scripture. And that is that this scripture is not meant to stand alone. And just the same, none of us are meant to stand alone. The truth is that none of us can exhibit the fullness of Christ in ourselves. We may each have a certain portion of Christ, but on our own, none of us will ever exhibit the fullness of Christ. Ephesians, I think, elaborates a little bit more on this. And if you don't know, Colossians, Ephesians, these are both written by the Apostle Paul. And the thing to realize about these books is that they were written to a church as a whole, not to individuals. So in Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, Paul says this, speaking of Christ. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Did you get that? The church is the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. How often, and it breaks my heart, but how often do, popular authors today and some Christian leaders today, they have totally individualized the Christian walk. They have made our relationship with God all about just one person and God. And that's a part of it. But that is not all of it. We so often get so caught up in the, you need to serve Christ for yourself. you need to be close to him for yourself, and I'm not saying that that isn't true, but I'm saying it isn't complete. Because you are not the fullness of Christ. Another important thing to see about that verse is that it says we are his body. God refers to us as a body, but not just any body. He refers to us as his body. That means that we are the actual manifestation of Christ to this world as a group. That means that as we come together, as we live out life together, as we go through our relationship with the Lord together, people see Jesus in his fullness. I'm talking about an outsider being able to come in here and see us and go, man, there is something special about these people. It's not just that they happen to be doing their duty of going to church on a Sunday, but somebody could come in here and say, wow, that person just spoke in tongues. That person just interpreted that. That person just prophesied. That person, I'm not saying that every Sunday this type of stuff has to happen, but I'm talking about when we are finding our function in the body of church, in the body of Christ. Romans 12, and forgive me, I'm going to be going through a lot of verses this morning because I want us to realize that this is a theme that goes throughout the entire New Testament. It's not just something I decided I would make up. So there's going to be a lot of scripture reading, and I hope it doesn't come across choppy, but I'm going to be hopping around a lot. Romans 12, verse 4 through 8. Let's see. It says this. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We don't stand alone. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. This is saying that we each have a role and a purpose in Christ's body. Each of us are dependent on each other to not only walk out our faith individually, but to see God and see his fullness and experience the fullness of God. But the thing is, if we aren't actually finding our place in the body, if we don't actually have a position or a part in the body, we actually, it's a good way to say this, we can actually stop the work of God from moving forward in all that it was meant to, and stop Christ from being exhibited in all that he wants to. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it's another chapter 12, speaks a little bit more about this. Reading again. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. And if they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. It is so vitally important for us as people who call ourselves Christians or followers of Christ to find out what our purpose is in the body of Christ. Our purpose in the body of Christ is not to fill a seat. It's not to feed. It's not to just worry about our relationship with God and that alone. We all have a function that, if we find it, brings about the fullness of God in us as a group. And that fullness of God, I believe, will move forward the work of God. I want to tell you a little story. When I was 3 years old, I was out playing with a neighbor kid, and we were playing around. He happened to get a hold of my bicycle. It was a little trike. Some of you maybe have heard the story if you're in youth, but I don't tell everyone this because I don't see the point. But just true. I was 3 years old, and I was out playing with a neighbor kid, and he, for whatever reason, I think it's just a rotten kid, took my bike, took my bike and took it across the street to his house. And me, being kind of really bold and kind of really dumb at the same time, I chased after him. And this is where it takes a turn for the worse. My mom tells me how this happened, because I can't remember it, obviously. But she said it looked like I stopped to look for cars in the middle of the road. Now you know how smart your youth pastor is. I stopped to look for cars in the middle of the road, and at that moment, a woman was driving a van, and it was a car? Okay, thank you, Mom. It was a car. A woman who actually went to our church at the time, was driving along, and as I looked for cars this direction, she came from this direction and hit me. And my poor mother had to watch all that. I was ran over and somehow got stuck in there by the exhaust pipe, kind of, right? Catalytic converter, that was the hot part of that. And my mom, with adrenaline and the Spirit of God, sprinted after this woman because the woman thought she had only hit a rock. And she kept driving. And thank God for my mom. I've never seen her run that fast. I don't even know how she is that fast. She's not athletic. That was God. She caught up to this woman at the next intersection, was it? At the stop sign or something like that? A ways up, she caught up to this woman and began screaming at this woman, "What are you? You hit my son! You hit my son!" And the woman is freaking out, going, "What? What are you saying?" I rolled down her window, finally got it, and realized that she had hit me, and I was still stuck under this car and had been stuck for a number of yards. And because of that, I was pretty badly injured. Doctors said it was a miracle that I survived. But because of that, I was in a full body cast. A full body cast. Thing went down my leg, my arms. I mean, it was horrible. Well, not all. It was like to here, and then went down this leg. I got some sweet scars because of it. But I was in this cast, and my mobility was ruined. I mean, I had to relearn to walk at the end of it. I was in this cast, and, you know, there were just certain parts of me that I couldn't use as well. And my brother, being an awesome person, would come up and tickle me when I was in bed. He'd tickle my feet. And I couldn't do anything. I'd just scream and, That's what brothers are for, right? He would tickle me. What a guy. And my dad would probably laugh. No, I'm just kidding. But I was in this cast, and I don't know, those of you who have been in a cast, you know how frustrating that is to not have use of some part of your body, right? How it's just like, oh my gosh, Marlene knows what I'm talking about, just being in that leg cast or ankle cast. I mean, you can't walk for sometimes months. You can't use that leg, and the whole time it's in that cast, it's just getting weaker and weaker and weaker. And then you take the cast off and it looks gross and decrepit. It's just not a fun thing. And it's ridiculously, at least it was for me, and it has been the various times I've sprained ankles or playing basketball. I broke my nose as I dove for a loose ball. This guy's knee came up. That was awesome. It's frustrating. I mean, I was in a full face mask when I played. I could not do things that I could do as well before. And you know, the longer you are in a state of, we'll call it being crippled, the more and more those feelings of worthlessness start to creep in. You start to just feel worthless. Anybody who's sat in one place for a long amount of time because they weren't able to move will tell you, you will have feelings of worthlessness and feeling like you don't have a purpose in this world. And the longer it persists, the worse and worse it gets, and the skinnier and skinnier your leg or your foot or your finger or whatever it may be gets. It is the same with the body of Christ. If a portion, if a part of the body of Christ is not being used, it gets skinny and weak and decrepit. And what I was trying to say when I was reading those scriptures was, listen, we all have a part. There's not one of us in this room this morning that does not have a part in the body of Christ. You may not know what it is right now, but you have a part. And if you are not finding what that is and actually participating in the role, the whole body of Christ suffers. Just like when your ankle is broken and you're trying to walk, your whole body gets frustrated. You can't do the things you once did. And with the church, when everybody isn't functioning in their role in the body, it can get pretty frustrating. I'm not saying that this is our problem necessarily, but it's a problem of the church in many places. The Lord's leading and he's going, all right, now it's time. We're going to go out there. We're going to reach this city. I'm going to come down in a move and we're going to do things. But we're like a crippled person, and we're like, all right, let's go, Lord. Come on. I'm going to do this. Come on, foot. Work. You ever had to try and do something that you used to do before when you've had an injury? It debilitates you. It's even worse in the church. We may have somebody who is working in their gift of evangelism, and they're able to go, hey, you want to come to my church? I'd love, you know, you should come check out my church. It's awesome. We're great people. And then your friend gets there, and you're like, okay, here's so-and-so, and here's our church, and all they're seeing is this guy. Jesus loves you. We can, if we do not act out our portion of the body, if we don't act out what our giftings are, what God has put in us that we were meant to serve the rest of the body with, if we are not actually serving or finding a place, just a little precursor, I'm not about to say, and that's why you need to help out in children's ministry and youth, because that's what I'm over. I'm not going there. But we need to find out what has God gifted us with that we could be giving away so that the body of Christ can be full, so that we can experience the fullness of God. And I think a lot of times the reason we don't experience the fullness of God, well, there's a couple. And I think the first one is probably because we don't think we're called. Most of us, we think the people that are called are pastors, missionaries, evangelists, people on TBN, I don't know. We have this crazy idea, and it's unfortunately a lie, but we have this idea that the only people that are called are the ones who are in full-time ministry, who are getting paid to do what they do. And if the enemy can have you believe in that, then he can have us being crippled. If the enemy can get you to believe that you don't have a role in the church, that you don't have a place of ministry in the church, and that could be anything, that could be, I'm meant to be somebody who disciples others. I'm meant to be somebody who blesses others. Whatever it may be, the Spirit of God will show you. Look at these verses, these scriptures I have talked about a little, and begin to ask God. He'll show you. But we think that we can just go to church and try to live righteously, try to behave, but I'm not called. I don't play a position in the church other than a bench warmer. Other people are doing what I used to do. I don't have a place anymore. Other people do the things I'd want to do. I don't have a place. Listen, there are so many positions, when I say positions, I'm not talking about like seats or places of authority. I'm just talking about there are so many things within the body that need to be done, that aren't being done. There are so many callings, there are so many giftings that God wants to give us that he wants to use to make his fullness be exhibited inside of us, that we need to stop being so caught up on what we think we're supposed to do and start asking God, what are we supposed to do? There is not one child, there is not one teenager, there is not one parent, there is not one single adult, there is not one grandparent in this room who is not called of God. With God, there are so many callings, it's ridiculous. But for whatever reason, we focus on the big ones, the ones that occur, which, as I think I read, no, I don't think I did. Let's go there. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be the weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers. Some of the most important roles in the body of Christ are the ones that nobody will ever see you do. The prayer, spending hours before the Lord interceding. The reaching out to your grandchildren who don't know the Lord. The discipling of your own children. These are the most important, some of the most important parts of the body, but for whatever reason, we totally ignore them. And we think they're unimportant. But God wants us to take part. He has called each and every one of us. And I think there's also a second reason that we very often don't see every function of the body functioning. And I'm going to need some volunteers to illustrate that, and I'm actually going to call. Let's go Isaac and over. Yep, to the left. Yeah, you guys can come up here. I need you. I'm going to turn my mic off for a second. And David, I need you. Specifically you. David's an awesome man. That's why I'm calling him up. Got it? Okay, this was impromptu, so we'll see if they can pull it off. Here we go. So we'll see if you guys are quick or if you read the Bible by if you can understand this. Okay. You up there? You good? All right, action. Have I sinned today? Have I done anything wrong? Life is good. Lord is good. What? Oh, I just love the Lord. What should I do? Excuse me. What are you doing?
Putting these back together.
What? Hold on. You must be new here. Listen. Hold on. David, I don't know. Don't worry about them. Have you been going to this church long?
A little while. Just a couple
months. Okay. Listen. We have a very specific way of doing things. You're not even wearing the right clothes, man. You don't look the part. Dude, you don't dress like us. You look a little too happy. I don't like it. You're not being religious enough for me.
I'm a
happy
guy.
Yeah. Well, you know, just go pray about it. Good. That's what happens when you do things randomly. You know, I don't like you. Can you just get out of here? Seriously. Why are you always coming in and trying to take my job? What are you doing?
Just trying to build this pyramid.
Why would you want to build these people up?
Because they need to be built up.
Why would you want to make these living stones into a temple?
Identify God.
Listen, we have so many things that you need to be worrying about. Are you having your prayer time? Are you being a good person? Are you righteous? Are you perfect? Are you holy?
I'm not perfect.
You're not perfect? And you think you can help them?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Look at these guys. They're a mess.
Oh, man, just gotta go.
Listen, Scripture says that we are each living stones being built together to be the temple of the living God. And what I'm trying to illustrate to you, you can all go, thank you, I appreciate this. They should get that. The second reason I believe we sometimes don't experience the fullness of God, or we don't start finding what our calling is, first off, was we don't believe we're called. Secondly, is because we are too caught up on being religious to actually do any work of the kingdom. That's kind of harsh, and I'm sorry if that hurt you. The Lord will strengthen you, because he rebukes those he loves, and I mean that in love, guys. I'm not saying that's anyone here. If it's you, that's between you and the Lord. But we get so caught up in our religious things, whether it be our devotional time, whether it be whatever, and we make these things God. And we start neglecting the work of God. We start neglecting the body of Christ. This is actually, I was trying to illustrate something. I was in a prayer time once, and I was just going, God, I just need to hear from you. Lord, what do you want to show me? And all of a sudden, I had a vision. And I saw this stone building. And it was beautiful. And then time went by, and the thing just started crumbling and collapsing. And all the while, there's this guy just standing there in his robe, in his white robe and his popely hat. I'm not speaking an anti-Catholic message here. Precursor. Okay. He's just sitting there in his religious garb. And he's watching it happen. And then periodically, these people that were just dressed in rags and looked poor and looked worthless, they would come running up to these stones and they would see the ones that were fallen and they would just start picking them up and start rebuilding it. And all of a sudden, this guy would go, what are you doing? Get out of here. And he'd start kicking them out. And God was showing me, Jake, so often in the church, we're kicking out the new people that are meant to be rebuilding. We're kicking out the potential body members. We so often get so caught up in our traditions and our ways we've always done things that when somebody comes in with something new, all of a sudden, you must be wrong because this is what God showed me. I have to go this way. I have to look this way. I am very solemn and holy. But the building is crumbling. The church is crumbling. It's falling down. It is not what it was meant to be. And if we are the type of church, the type of body that does not allow ourselves to be built up, that does not allow new people to come in with input, with ideas, with their own inspiration from God, we restrict the body of Christ being all that it was meant to be. We restrict God from being unleashed amongst us. We have to be the type of people who allow God to move when he wants to move through who he wants to move through. And it may be somebody who you don't want to listen to. We need to become the body of Christ. And then we will start to experience the fullness of Christ, because Scripture tells us that those who were baptized into Jesus were baptized into his body. You were baptized to be a part of him, to exhibit something about Jesus that only you can exhibit. I cannot be Jesus. Oh, that doesn't make sense. What? I cannot exhibit Jesus in the way that you were meant to. I cannot show Christ to people in the way that you were meant to show Christ. So this morning, I want us to just allow God to speak. I've done my part of sharing, I believe, the truth of what God wants. May not have done it that well. But I pray that God has been speaking to you. Because we need to show people the Christ, Jesus, who is vibrantly alive, full of love and assurance for his people, proclaiming that he is, in fact, the Christ. He's the one and only Son of God, the one who came and took sin on himself, took the rejection, took the abuse, took the sin, took the death, took the suffering, and said, "It is finished." And then he rose from the grave and said, Now you go, be my witnesses. Now you go, be my body. Now you go and do greater things than I have done. And then he ascended into heaven and sent the Holy Spirit so that we actually could. Listen, when I say we need to be doing the work of God, we need to be our part of the body, I'm not saying that we need to become perfect people. We're being perfected. I'm not saying God expects us to be perfect. I'm not saying God expects you, when you start to answer that call, to do it perfectly. There's a truth that I have come to know, and that is that God does not call the pure. He purifies the called. The calling will come before you're ever ready to do what God's asking you to do. The calling will come when you think you are worthless. And it's in following and answering the calling that God will begin to perfect you and begin to purify you and begin to make you ready and more effective and more healthy as you're part of the body. We are meant to have a role. But what is it? Are we actually fulfilling that? Would God look down on us and say, "My body is working right. I can run. I can sprint." Or would he maybe be slightly frustrated and say, "Man, I get pretty sick and tired of dragging my left leg. Because I'm perfect. And my people can do so much more than they are right now. They can change this world, but they're walking around like a bunch of crippled beggars, begging people to come into my kingdom, limping along. And they're not seeing me who, as I am, alive, strong, courageous, full of love and life." Jesus doesn't beg people to come into his kingdom. He allows us to. He is so perfect and so holy and so good. Don't you think we should show people how holy and how perfect and how good he is by us finding out what God wants us to do?
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.